Welcome back to the Lyme Podcast. My name is Aaron Alexander. This is a place that we bring together the world's leading experts in all things health and wellness to help you optimize your mind, body, and movement. Today's conversation is all about acoustic neuroscience, the way that acoustics or sounds affect our internal states, the way that we produce ourselves at a neurological level, at an overall physiological level, and how we can improve our mood, improve our sleep, improve our concentration, and things of the like, augmenting or modulating our state with our soundscape, the sounds that we are exposing ourselves to. The guest for today is Dan Clark. He is the founder of Brain FM. Brain FM is a way for folks to tap into concentration, meditation, restfulness, sleep, things of the like through augmenting sound. So it is an app that I've been very impressed with. I just literally did a meditation using Brain FM, doing the meditation track on there a couple hours ago. And it is wild what they're able to do with attuning a person's nervous system just through the sounds. So they play really beautiful music, and then they stack different layers of frequencies and things of the like throughout it. We get into all of that in this conversation, how you can do that on your own, with today's guest, Dan Clark. He is the founder of Brain FM, and I think this conversation is super, super interesting, and it is a great wake-up call for ways that we can start modulating or tuning our nervous system just through augmenting the sounds that we expose ourselves to. Thank you for subscribing so you get each week's episodes. Thank you for leaving us reviews wherever you're listening to this. And also, if you want to try Brain FM, it is completely free to try. You can start a free trial by going over to brain.fm/align. If you use align code, you will get 30% off of actually starting it if you want to continue. But I would highly recommend everybody jump over there, brain.fm/align, start a free trial, try meditation, try a focus track as well. The focus track is incredible. Play that guy, put your headphones on while you're doing any type of focused work, and I would be very impressed if you do not notice yourself experiencing a significant amount of focus during that. It's very impressive, and this conversation, we get into exactly what is happening with that. All right, that's it. That's all. Let's get to it with my guy, Dan Clark. Starting this motherflipping podcast.
Let's do it. Thanks. That was great. I've never started a podcast with that, but it definitely helps.
It's a vibe, right?
Yeah.
Because you're always coming in from whatever channel you're coming in from, or whatever's like stressful or not situation. So having a bit of a pattern interrupt, I find to be very valuable.
Mm.
Which gets into what I want to talk to you about, which is, so what's the term that I had to use for this? Auditory neuroscience? And you also said that what was the other term you said? Music?
Yes, we're specifically doing auditory neuroscience. Another word could be entrainment or the fact of pattern matching. Yeah. We also do something called, basically modulation, right? So neural phase locking in the brain, which is aligning all the patterns in your brain that creates entrainment and a phase lock of your brain that lets us redirect electrical impulses and patterns and shift your state from one to another.
Hmm. So what is the difference? I think the most common concept, you already know what I'm about to say, I presume. What is the difference between binaural beats? What are binaural beats, first of all? Because I think it's something that's probably a little bit mystical for many people. And then what is the difference between that and neural phase locking? But starting off, just like, what are binaural beats? Just to have a baseline of what most people are familiar with.
Yeah, sure. So binaural beats were invented in the 70s, and it's this really cool effect of the brain that if you play one frequency in one ear and another frequency in the other, what happens is your brain, through your brainstem, those frequencies combine, and the difference creates an amplitude, right? And that amplitude will then entrain through your brain to your prefrontal cortex, and it'll allow you to shift your mental state, right? And what's happening really is blood flow is redirecting your in your brain, right? Hmm. The thing in binaural beats, though, is that because it's going through your brainstem, right, which is your reptilian, one of your oldest parts of your brain, there's a lot of things that can interrupt this entrainment effect. So some people have had these really, I think you just said, mystical experiences on binaural beats, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. And other people haven't. Or yeah. Some people have had it sometimes, and it's because of the effect that's happening in the brain. It has to go from all the way back of your head to the front, and it can take a really long time using it over, you know, months even to have those effects.
Hmm. And then And how would that differentiate from what you guys at Brain do at Brain FM, which I'm a big fan of? Thanks for creating it, because I think it's,
yeah,
it's
of course. Like
a really amazing thing with neural phase locking. And are there components of binaural beats within the Brain FM program, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we are basically taking the idea of binaural beats and bringing it to the next evolution of that, right? Hmm. So as I mentioned, these two frequencies are combining your brainstem, and then your brain has to do all the work of, you know, creating this amplitude that then passes through your brain to your prefrontal cortex. Hmm. What we're doing is we're actually putting that modulation, that amplitude, the on and off pulse, directly in the bass frequencies of the music. So it passes your brainstem and goes right to your prefrontal cortex and starts working in the first 30 seconds of listening to it. Hmm. So the difference is actually just the evolution of the technology that we can now do, because computers got a lot better, right? And now, instead of waiting for 6 weeks of you using binaurals to have your first effect, you can actually experience it in the first 30 minutes of your first session. Hmm. And what's cool about it is, because it's all pattern matching, right? And we know what patterns or what people's brains look like when they're in focus states or sleep states or relax, we can actually just change the pattern and give someone that amazing experience of meditation, or that constant experience of flow state where you control it, not by accident.
And then what is the difference between, like, what's the secret sauce within neural phase locking? I think you probably just described it, but I think I'm too slow to understand. I get like, I've, you know, I'm in Malibu right now, and I've lived in a bunch of new age Mecca type places. And so I've been in a lot of sound healings, in quotations.
Yep.
And sometimes I think there's actually quite a bit of legitimacy to that. But is there some value in, or comparison to someone like playing a didgeridoo of your head, or playing some chimes, like live music? That's actually kind of coming into another question. Is there something, a difference between, or a greater value potentially between, like, analog music, the actual frequency manifesting from the instrument, that you could only get from that you could not get from digital? And then, or is there something that you could only get from digital that you could not get from that analog experience that you're kind of packing into the neural phase locking?
Yeah. So we're uncovering a lot of different questions, which I'm happy to go into.
Yeah. That was two questions. I apologize, but I kind of abandoned my first one. And I think that's kind of an interesting realm to go into.
Yeah. So, you know, inside of that last question you're asking me, like, the difference between digital and I guess acoustic or analog music, there's a lot of things to unpack, right? In sound itself, right, I would say first it matters, like, what experience or what kind of results you're trying to drive, right? There's still a lot of things that, you know, we have a neuroscientist. His official title is an auditory neuroscientist. He has his double PhD from MIT and Harvard. He's like one of eight people on the planet that can do the work that we're doing. And he will, you know, share that, like, we're still figuring out how the brain works. Right.
Yeah, of course.
So from an analog experience, if you're attending like a sound bath or something like that, you know, usually in my experience, those are more to, you know, awaken something inside of you, or to help you in a more of a therapeutic session. Right. An experience. And, you know, as far as the difference between analog and not, I don't know if I've seen a difference in some of the things that I've encountered and worked with. I think it's more about the different guide that people are taking you on, right? Mm-hmm. I've partaken in them myself as well. Yeah. I think the interesting thing that I feel more qualified for is some of the things that you can only get in digital means. Yeah, and sure. That's some of the things that we started talking about, right? So what's really unique about, creating soundscapes for purpose and for specific tasks and activities is we have greater depth of control over, what output we're trying to drive. And specifically, what I was just talking about, adding this amplitude modulation, right, inside of bass frequency, we have to do that with so much precision because these are like, beta frequencies, right? These are 12 to 16 hertz, right? Per second, right? And then as you're changing the BPM of the music, as you're changing the different kinds of frequencies inside of the music, this has to change and adapt to it too, or it will sound really ugly, I guess is the best way to say it. You'll know, it'll be uncomfortable. The actual effect, if you listen to it by itself, is actually like a helicopter effect when you have two windows in the back of a car. It's like bum, 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 that kind of thing. But that rhythm is actually creating a pattern in your brain that your brain starts entraining to or matching. And it's that rhythm that when it turns into electrical impulse, it actually starts organizing the functional networks of your brain to actually start operating and syncing to that rhythm. And the way your brain works and a lot of systems that work in nature and physics is it always leads to the path of least resistance, right? So if your brain, if you think about it like a Christmas tree where it's all blinking all at different times because of all the stimulus that we have around us, if you are somehow able to have it start blinking at the same time, right? And this is an overdramatization of what we're doing, but if you can have it start blinking more similarly, then it can actually conduct more information and be more efficient, which allows you to have greater depth of an experience that you're trying to achieve, whether it's better sleeping, better relaxing, or having more longer work periods. And those are some of the only things you can achieve doing a digital solution.
And what do you think is happening with these the specific like orchestration of sounds and layering of sounds that you have within Brain FM? Is it mimicking something presumably that we've picked up through X amount of years of human evolution? And it's kind of indicating some type of sensation that feels native to the human, mm-hmm. feeling safe or feeling calm, like maybe like a babbling brook or maybe like a, a thunderstorm or rain in the background or something of the sort. That's like there's specific notes or tones that are hitting on that part compared to something that would be, for focus could be, I don't know what would create focus, maybe the sound of wind or something. I don't know what would create focus for a person.
Yeah.
Like where does one as an acoustic technician or whatever the term is, draw these specific sounds, or is it just kind of trial and error?
Yeah. So this is the cool part about what we're doing, right? It's not about the sound. It's not about what you're hearing. Mm. With subtext, which I'll dive into in a second, right? But the main technology and the main thing that we're doing is we're not trying to replicate the sounds of a babbling brook. We're trying to replicate the patterns that you would experience sleeping next to a babbling brook.
Interesting.
Or feeling safe. What's really cool with science and technology now is we can put an fMRI in an fMRI, and that measures the blood flow in your brain, right? Yeah. So if you have increased blood flow to your prefrontal cortex or to other parts of your region, we have a really good idea, what kind of state that you're in. Or, we know people that perform have certain blood flow to certain regions, right? Mm. And we can do the same thing with EEGs, which are electrical devices that measure the electrical, parts of your brain. And we know that a Zen master who's in, really great meditation practice, or a person that is, a video game player that's like the top performer in the world, they have the ability to basically drop into like flow states, right? Or great meditation. And we can measure that. We can replicate that. It's a pattern that is existing. So what we're doing is we're saying, hey, what pattern can we disguise and we can put into this music that when you are listening to it, it basically turns into electrical impulses and guides your brain to getting into that flow state, not just once, but every single time you listen to it. And that's the main core of our technology. And then what we also do is then we put things around that that you evolutionarily associate with these, you know, times of focus, relax, or sleep if needed. And then there's a bunch of psychology that is also stacked on top of that. So some people, they really like going to the gym and they like working out to heavy metal. Some people like electronic, and some people can somehow bang out amazing PR, listen to country, you know?
Yeah.
But what we try to do is we try to break all those different parts from an evolutionary and a physiological perspective of how electrical impulses and blood flow works in your brain, from an actual, you know, basically like physics perspective, and then from a psychology, from a user, you know, individual use case. And then we can even go a step further is, you know, refining to, you know, if you have neurodivergence, et cetera, which I'm happy to get into as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, to encapsulate like all of this, the real cool breakthrough that I'm kind of making my life mission to grow and build is giving everyone the ability to have the on button in their pocket saying, I want to focus now. And they click a button and then they just start focusing every single time, no matter if you have coffee or not, if you're in a good mood or not, you know, but then allowing you to stay there in a more consistent fashion. And I think it's just one of the tools that are going to allow everyone to be their best self. In addition to breath work and all these other things that are coming online today.
What would be the closest comparison to neural phase locking? And if you could give me like the, like a very quick elevator pitch for like a elementary school person or like IE me of like, what's the easiest definition of neural phase locking? And then what's the closest comparison to neural phase locking in a natural setting outside of using the app?
Yeah, good question. So I'll start with a pitch first. So we always say that Brain FM, we basically we engineer music to change the patterns in your brain, right? So you can control your mental state, right?
Yeah.
And that's the main mechanism, right? Is that the neural phase locking is the changing the patterns, because our brains are responding to the patterns around us, right? Like listening to my voice right now, you're actually in training to my voice. Sure. So if your headphone pops out or something like that, or if I distort my voice, you'll be able to know what I say. And it's all these really cool mechanisms of evolution that we've been blessed with, right? Because we're the ones that survived, right? We can go into all these different cool things about sound, but there's one thing that's really cool to illustrate this called salience. And salience is the difference between two sound events. And that they're really attention grabbing. So in music traditionally today, which is not made to help you focus, relax, or sleep, right? It's a lot there. It comes up a lot. And it grabs our attention and steals our energy from you know, what we're trying to do. And it makes sense, because if we're walking in the woods 5,000 years ago and you hear a twig break, we're the people that, or our ancestors were the ones that ran away from danger, because they recognized that that's a lion coming to eat them, right? So, you know, there's some really cool things that we're aware of. And when we make our music, we are adding in certain kinds of attributes. So we're adding in these entrainment values, these neural phase locking, but we're also adding these things that make us human. And we're either adding them in or purposely taking and filtering them out. So that's some really cool stuff that, again, we can dive into. The first part of your question, which I try to come back to because I was trying to get some more time on, but is what is the closest thing? And I honestly believe it's probably breath work, right? Where breath work instantly changes your brain, right? It's pattern interrupts. It's changing the pattern, because you're getting different patterns. You're literally forcing different patterns for you, right? And the difference between listening acoustically and doing breath work is just the application of it. Breath work is great to change your state, right? but it's really hard to continue doing breath work while you're focusing or trying to nail out a, you know, some kind of work, right? And this actually works in concert with the activity. So it's something that you can put on. It helps you zone in and allows you to stay focused and work more maybe consistently or lets you sleep to a deeper state the whole night long.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, so I did a book 4 years ago or so called The Align Method. And that the last section of it is about all about how your senses affect your physiology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so within that, I think that's an interesting lens to perceive one's fitness and one's autonomic state, you know, the way that they think, the way that they feel, the way that they produce themselves. Mm. Sorry, I'm choking on a thing. And within that, I think that's like, there's a lot of low hanging fruit on that we have at our disposal that we're just not really paying attention to. You know, I think one of the big ones is our visual system. Mm-hmm. So much of our day is spent myopically focused in on typically a screen or something of the sort. And then as we're in that, that's tuning our autonomic nervous system to be a little bit more upregulated. You know, we're like ready yep. to go. And we flip our vision into panoramic. That kind of puts us more into like a calm, soothed state. It adjusts our experience if we're looking up, if we're looking down, if we're looking different directions. You know, your eyes are a continuation of your brain. You know, and then it's a very obvious other one that I put in the book as well, because it's just so important and apparent, is the way that we can regulate our nervous system with our breath. You know, so long exhalation compared to mouth breathing, compared to inhalation, compared to breath holds, compared to humming. Like there's all these different ways to start to go in and kind of almost play one's nervous system, you know, like a conductor. Mm-hmm. And then I think one of the ones that, you know, you obviously have focused your whole world around is the acoustic system. And it's, yep. it's like we can stack all of those simultaneously. I'd like to actually touch on just not that it's relevant to your expertise, but also just introduce like the olfactory as well, because that also is a really important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to do a big heavy lift, you might use smelling salts before that. If you want to go to bed, you might use lavender. You know, so we're continually tuning our autonomic nervous system with our sensory instruments. You know, and totally. the acoustic one is a really invaluable one that I think that oftentimes we're just I don't think we pay enough attention to. You know, so anyway, that's just an interesting perspective, I think, of like, it's all on the table. Like, why not stack all of these together?
Exactly. I mean, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly how I think of it. And what's really unique about like priming is that our brains are so sensitive to it, right? So like you said, smelling salts, or I like to do Listerine packets before I like, do something that makes me feel scared, for example, right? It helps me have that grounded confidence. I do eucalyptus before I do really deep work sessions, right? Hmm. So there's like these really cool things you can stack on it. And what's really unique too is like even in the patterns that we have and we're introducing the music, as you listen to them and as you start being exposed to them, it's almost like your brain just recognizes them before you do. Yeah. So you know, it's like going to the gym. You get stronger the more you exercise a muscle. And this is just like that. Hmm. What's really interesting to me that I think you'll find incredibly fun is Kevin, our director of science. He has his PhD. I keep mentioning him a little bit. But he did his dissertation on something called the cocktail party problem. I don't usually talk about this a lot, but it's really cool. And his whole thing was basically, if you're at a party and you're not really hearing people across the room, but all of a sudden someone says your name, you hear them. What does that prove? It actually proves that you hear everything. You actually literally can hear everyone's voice at the same time. And your brain is really good about canceling it out and discarding half, or not even half, like 90% of all information. And that's what we're trying to unlock in tools like this. Which is, what if you could use these tools that make us, you know, human and have evolved to where we are, but we can actually start stacking these tools to be the person we want to be every single day? What would that do for your life? Yeah. And that's I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly the thing that I think about, and that's why I get really excited to build Brain FM.
Yeah, I'm not like a neuroscientist, obviously, but I think that's like touching on the reticular activating system. We're kind of we're queued up to different types of visual stimuli or auditory based off of like the potential of it being threat, but also could just be anything, just something that's that we're subconsciously queued up to because it's a value. We have a system kind of operating in that way. And to be able to unpack that and unlock that to your advantage, I think would probably be a pretty sensible thing. Is there, so coming back to, so what about that's interesting. I wasn't anticipating you suggesting that the closest comparison would be something like using another system, i.e. breath system. What would be the closest acoustic comparison to what you're doing with the neural phase locking and with Brain FM, just in a
And just
natural
music.
acoustic environment?
Totally. You go and you're at a restaurant or whatever, or in the car, and you hear your favorite song come on. How fast do you want to start tapping your finger to the song, or how fast do you start singing the lyrics?
Yeah,
It's
right.
instant, right? That's exactly what we're doing, right? So we're really good at knowing what's next, and it's actually like enjoyable, right? So that feeling of, oh, I want to dance to this song is exactly what we're doing with Brain FM, is we're having a pattern that's going in the music, right? Your brain anticipates that pattern, right? That's what entrainment is. And then if you stop the pattern, your brain's still going, right? That's actually that effect really happening. And that's the same exact mechanism actually in the brain that we're taking advantage of when we put these patterns into the music.
And how is AI incorporated into what you guys are doing? So you're working with actual musicians and producers and people creating actual music, and then there's an AI component in there as well, creating probably some synthesis of something. Like what's happening with the AI component?
It's doing all the stuff in the background, right? So it's making sure that that pattern is perfectly aligned to every single BPM strike. To it's changing the salience events that I talked about, so we don't want loud like disruptions in music, and it's also changing frequency. So a big misnomer is that like everyone believes that binaural beats is it's frequency, and it is, but it's actually the frequency in the difference, which is creating an amplitude frequency, not a hertz frequency. So you'll actually hear a lot of people talk about like 40 hertz music, right?
Sure.
So they play music that's really low and very like slow. And that's actually, to give you an example, 40 hertz modulation is like it's like a buzzing sound. It's on and off very quickly, right? And it's those things that are, you know, differences. But you know, getting back to the same point, we're making like rules. So the humans can do something. They make really beautiful music. They make music that you want to work to. It's not just like AI jumbled stuff and tones and hertz. And then we have the AI basically sequence the music, line it up to certain kinds of things, does all the math, and then also adjust to different kinds of neural parameters that we can fine tune to individuals, which I'm happy to dive into as well.
I want to take a moment and share something that has been invaluable to my own personal healthcare. That is getting my blood work done and checking my specific biomarkers with LifeForce. They're incredible because they have at-home phlebotomists. They come to you, which that's one of the biggest pain in the butts for me, is like going and getting my blood somewhere. I don't want to do that. And then shortly after that, you get your results back and you can see exactly what is happening with you in their very easy to use user interface. Then you set up a call. It's absolutely free, or it's a part of the membership, to speak with one of their functional medicine doctors. The gal that I talked to was incredible. I asked her every question I possibly could, and she had amazing answers for everything. And then they offer you suggestions based off of your specific blood work, what is happening with you specifically, which is so important. I can't emphasize that enough. And they go over lifestyle suggestions, they go over nutritional suggestions, and then offer nutraceuticals as well as peptide therapy and hormone therapy if that is something that is supportive for you. That is all stuff that you can talk to with them to see if that would be something that would make sense for you. I would always go for the low-hanging fruit first. Make sure that you are adjusting your lifestyle and your nutrition first. And then on top of that, there are some things that sometimes it can be very supportive to start to supplement in an exogenous way. So these guys are fantastic. I've had an amazing experience. Their membership is just, it's something that's been invaluable in my life just to remove all of the guesswork from my nutrition as well as some lifestyle choices. Make sure my sleep is good, make sure everything that I'm putting into my body is on point. And they're also measuring for optimization, not just average baseline. So I love these guys. I think they're invaluable. I think you guys will dig them. And you can get $200 off of your membership by going to mylifeforce.com/align. That's mylifeforce.com/align. I implore anyone, get your blood work done, see what's happening with you, get a bird's eye view of your health, and then start moving from there. mylifeforce.com/align. You guys are going to dig them. I want to take a moment and share a tool that I have found to be invaluable for in training my brain to specific states, whether it be to fall asleep, whether it be to meditate, whether it be to focus on work. Brain FM is an app that I stumbled across about a year ago, and I've just been blown away with how surprisingly effective it is. I was very skeptical to start, and now it's become a staple. I use it every single day. I use it for if I'm working, I just pop on my headphones. They have a catalog of different tracks that you could play, and then it stacks actual listenable music, like I genuinely enjoy the music that they're playing, with specific frequencies that entrain your brain to that specific state. They have done significant research using fMRI, using EEG, to be able to show that just listening to these specific frequencies and these sounds and this music and the way that they put it together actually will guide your brain into those states within 5 minutes. So you can try it yourself by just going over to brain.fm/align. You get a free trial. And then if you find it as invaluable as I have, you will get 30% off of your membership, which is quite affordable anyway. So jump over to brain.fm/align, give the meditation a try, give the sleep a try, and give the workflow a try, and just go through those guys. If it works for you, amazing. If not, it's free anyway. So brain.fm/align. I think you guys are going to find this as incredible as I have.
Is it that we are attunement mechanisms or systems, and we just that's what we do, is we attune to the world around us, and yes. You are matching, is it come back to like a beta, alpha, theta, delta type, yep, brainwave thing?
100%.
And so you're placing those specific frequencies, and then because that's just naturally what we do, is we attune to the world around us, we're attuning to those specific frequencies, and then it's placing our physiology into that state.
So very, very close. Everything is correct, except it's not the frequency. It's more of the pattern. And I say that as mentioned, because if you just play these frequencies in pitch, it won't work. It's really this pattern of modulation of on and off, which allows us to, our brain to attune to it.
And there'd be different on and offs to... induce different states.
Correct.
Would faster on and off be more focus and slower on and off be more like sleep and relaxation or meditation?
Yes. That's from a basic perspective. Yes. And if we want to fine tune it even more, so say the difference between deep work and creativity, we change the pattern slightly, but we also change the acoustic features of the song. So that could be the brightness of sound. It could be the complexity of music, and it could be like the speed of the music. So we have this attunement method, which I really like that word, that you start attuning to. And then we basically, let's call it, flavor the attunement to be more energy driving, which allows you to be more thinky and creativity, or more like drony, like kind of like the same and similar, which allows you to have more consistency and less mind wandering. So, we have a few different parameters that we're kind of like playing with and matching with to have this cross-section between, yeah, like music that works, that drives performance, that we have shown in papers and things, but then also music that isn't boring and you know, is you don't want to listen to. And yeah. It's finding that perfect marriage between human and computers, which allows us to build Brain FM.
Yeah. And then, you know, one of the systems that people are generally have been taught to trust as being high efficacy would mm-hmm. be that which goes into our mouth, i.e. a pharmaceutical, you know, substance, yep. whatever, a pill uh-huh. or coffee or something of the sort. I think most people across the board, it's like, oh yeah, like goes into your face, like in your mouth hole, like that specific yeah. hole, like it will have effect. You know, and within that, it's just another form of information. That which goes into your mouth holes is another form of information, you know, and it's going to affect your, you know, your everything, your neurophysiology and your hormone release and all of the different components of you will be affected through all of these systems. And one mm-hmm. of the things that I learned about you guys is you had, I think won a grant might be the right terminology from the government and the National Science Foundation to treat ADHD is actually like a, what was that? How does the government end up picking up on something as kind of out there as sound as being something to actually have any efficacy with treating ADHD?
Yeah, of course. Great transition. So I think that, at the end of the day, like ADHD is a thing that a lot of people have, right? And I think especially with like TikTok and things like that, a lot of people are like, hey, maybe I do have ADHD, right? We get a lot like conditioned as more things are moving quicker and attention spans are going down, right?
Yeah.
So this is, I think 4 years ago or so, but we saw this grant looking for alternative methods to help people with ADHD, and we applied to it. And we won the grant, and it was $250,000. And it basically allowed us to do fMRI research, which is that blood flow tracking that I talked about before. These are, you know, $2 million+ machines that you basically can only get in labs across, you know, different universities in the United States. And they were really interested in how could we change this pattern for individuals with ADHD and basically treat them or help treat them.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, so we actually find that knob, that amplitude modulation knob or that pattern that we're putting, it's not making that knob faster. It's not going from 16 Hertz to 18 Hertz. That actually doesn't help, but it's expanding the frequencies I'm trying to stay away from that word. So it's easier to understand, but it's expanding the way we're talking. So you have bass, you have mid, and you have treble, right? Treble is really high frequencies. Mid is in the middle, obviously, and bass is low frequencies. And with people with ADHD, instead of just doing the bass, maybe we'll do mid or maybe a little bit of treble as well. Mm-hmm. And those effects, because they're deeper, right? They actually affect the person more. And
which is the same with from the visual spectrum as well. Like correct. Infrared so light actually penetrates the skin at a much deeper level than say like blue or green or any, you know, like shorter frequencies, you know, or shorter wavelengths, higher frequencies, shorter wavelengths. So that longer wavelength light, i.e. infrared, as you get into that part of the spectrum, actually has more penetratory power through the skin, which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit different in audio, but it's a similar thing that you're getting at, which is like when we turn up not the brightness per se, but the spread of the spectrum, mm-hmm. it actually makes a larger effect. Mm-hmm. And we know this because
when you say spread of spectrum, do you mean distance between wavelengths of the on the like acoustic spectrum, or what does that mean exactly?
I'm a very visual person, so I try to like keep them there. But yeah. If we actually are talking the frequency spectrum between really high and really low sound, yeah. And if we do that more, what happens is it actually is just adding more information, right? Mm-hmm. Which allows you to have more an effect, right? And mm-hmm. this effect works so much where if you don't have ADHD, we will redistribute blood flow in your brain just like normal, but it'll actually give you a headache and you can feel it. Hmm. So it's not cranking it up where it's going super, super fast. It's almost making it flash, you know, brighter across all of the lights on the thing. Hmm. If that's the metaphor, and that drives and changes things that are happening in your brain. And if you don't have ADHD, it's exactly what you need. If you don't have ADHD, it's not what you need. It's actually too much, too powerful. And if you do, it's perfect. And then there's other things inside of our music that naturally work. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with fidget spinners, right? They used to be a craze for a while with people with ADHD.
Yeah.
They work because it just gives your brain just a little bit of something to like help with the extra, gives you a little bit more stimulus, right? Hmm. The effects that we're adding to this music, this pattern, is the same thing. It's adding some stimulus of guiding into your brain, which allows you, either if you have ADHD or you don't, to have less of those thoughts that come up that distract you while you're working, right? Because you're kind of like entertained a little bit. That's not exactly how it works, but very close. And through our research and through our funding, we're actually create a paper that is in pre-publication in one of the largest scientific journals, which I don't believe I can say right now, but is being ready to be released and shown like, hey, this is an effective addition to helping someone manage it. I can't say it's a cure, you know, but it's something that people have used to either with their current medication, maybe to lower their medication, or in a experience where they're going to try this first before they go on medication. Right. And a lot of our users do have ADHD, about 14 times more than the general population.
And what did you guys find through the usage of fMRI and EEG? What were the brain centers that were being stimulated with? I know I checked out your website so I could see the different data on there. And it was like comparison, like Spotify compared to white noise or pink noise or different things compared to brain FM.
Yep.
What do you see with the different iterations or different like settings that you have within brain FM as well? Like could you with it, if you had an fMRI or EEG and you put it on the meditation soundtracks or however the term is, channels, and then you put it on focus, could we actually watch blood be distributed to different parts of the brain in real time? And how long would that take? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, good question. So this, especially with like large government grants, they only let you investigate one thing because when you turn this machine on, it's very expensive. So unfortunately, we only did this for focus, right?
Okay.
But I can tell you what we saw for focus and what I would imagine to see if we did exactly what you said, right?
Yeah.
So what we're looking at is we're looking at specific regions that we know in neuroscience affect focus, right? So that's prefrontal cortex, specifically the prefrontal cortex or the front of your head, the closer part of your brain, and the left region, right? Mm-hmm. That's because most of us are right-handed where we, left brain, right brain. That's kind of where that comes from, right? And when we see that have more blood flow, right, we actually can see, hey, this is actually what we're trying to do because we're driving blood flow, which means there's more activity there, which allows us to say, hey, this is actually working because people with greater levels of focus have greater levels of blood flow in that area. So when we see that in fMRI, we were able to show that, white noise, pink noise. We even went as far as doing spectrally matched noise, which is brain FM, but taking all the patterns and the structure away, and it looks similar or even sounds very similar, but it doesn't have those amplitude pattern inside of it. So it's basically like our pattern on and off, basically. And you can see that in subjects with or without ADHD, it does create that experience. And then people with ADHD, it creates that experience even more, which shows that basically allows your ADHD to be like a superpower if you want to call it that, right?
Yeah.
We didn't do it for relax or for sleep, but if we were in focus and we put this on a relaxed setting, what I would imagine is the blood would switch from the prefrontal cortex basically to the middle part of your brain, right? which is more in tune with the, you know, the like the parasympathetic nervous system, right? Where it's more of relaxation and you know, de-escalation, right?
Yeah, less like problem solving, more like exactly, like, right? Like sentience, feeling, sensation,
rest and recovery, right? Yeah. So that's what would happen, and we could see that over time. And I know that because we actually have similar models with some of the things that we're working on, which is wearables, right? So with the same kind of models that we see of increasing blood flow, electrical activity to different parts of your body, we actually can also see that in wearables where your HRV changes, and that this will change quickly, and also your skin temperature. It's called GSR. Wow. And a lot of wearables like Oura Ring or Apple Watch, right? They test that stuff out of the box because that's how they test your stress response and, you know, your sleep. And we're actually finding out that we can also take advantage of that to create a model of a person and say, hey, you know, we put this on and Dan's skin temperature went down 0.1 degrees and his HRV increased by X. Oh, it's actually, this is the effect that we're trying to produce. And there's some really interesting things that we're now doing where we know this works on a lot of different people, actually everyone. And we just find that we can kind of make it stronger or less depending on your sensitivity to sound or neurodivergence, basically, that you have. And then now the next level of Brain FM is saying, okay, now how do we take this and actually do kind of like a neurofeedback thing through sound, which allows you to say, hey, I want to get my flow state refined as much as possible, and getting like a prescription, almost like you went to an eye doctor specifically for you. And that's something that I'm really excited about as we continue to drive Brain FM and the core technology.
That's really cool. So if you did something that was neurofeedback-esque, would that necessitate some type of reward system in there? There have to be something like more interactive in it, or could you do something that's neurofeedback-esque just through the attunement of the sound?
Through the sound and through the changing modulation or some kind of the characteristics of the sound. And then also just being able to watch how your body responds and see how that, you know, changes over time.
Interesting. So for a person, so I think you guys have like a free trial of this, so people can just like try it, which is super
convenient. Of course.
It's the, I think the code, you made a code for us. It's brain.fm/align. People get 30% off. Is that?
I will check right now. And yes, it is.
I have it written down. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, here it is. I added a tab for it. So that's super sweet. You guys appreciate you doing that. I think the obvious thing is just like go check it out and have the experience. So a person has nothing to lose. And if you don't find it that interesting, just cancel it. No big deal. But if a person doesn't feel like doing Brain FM, how could they tap into some of these systems, the acoustic system within themselves and create similar effects? Like, what would be the most similar thing a person could engage in without having this kind of like stack of technology and AI incorporated with the acoustics? Like, could you get probably the same thing with like just sitting by a waterfall or something of the sort? Or if you went to a concert, you know, like how does that affect the fMRI of, you know, the blood flow and circulation to the brain and the EEG and all of that?
Yeah. So from a science perspective, it's hard to bring an fMRI to a concert to get that. But
yeah, sure.
From what we know, right, like you can have similar, like music has existed a really long time, right?
Yeah.
The closest thing that you could get these same effects is actually if you go through where music was created from the beginning, right, which is the functional aspect. So the beginning, it wasn't to like make music to make you feel something. It was making your music to do something. So if we think about war drums, right? Everyone marching at the same time, that right. creates entrainment, right?
Yeah, it does.
If you're thinking of actually lullabies to kids, that's an early thing of entrainment. So those are kinds of the best effect that you could get if you want to like get those kinds of things. Maybe going to a concert. I mean, it would definitely amp you up by being there and being excited and being part of the crowd. Again, there's a lot of psychological effects there. But you know, playing, you know, concert like music when you're going to the gym, that's helpful. Yeah. But if you're looking for that next level of the things that we're talking about, the only way to get that is with, you know, dedicated systems that are building these patterns into the music, which allows you to have this increased effect.
How many layers are you incorporating into each soundtrack that you have? Because there's like the actual instruments. So some of them you actually have like a violin or a guitar, you know, so it's actually recognizable instruments. And then there's the patterns and the frequencies. And is there any binaural component to it at all? Or is there no binaural component to it? Like, how many actual layers are there in this?
Yeah, so the modulation pattern is the binaural component, just like evolved, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
You have the different kinds of sounds and things that we're trying to create for an experience. I'd have to look, but I know like every single song that we build has certain kinds of tags and attributes to it. And I think it has, I don't know, close, probably at least 65 dimensions that we're trying to like hit on. Between salience, between you know, the complexity of the music, the brightness, the emotional feeling of the music, the change over time, the different kinds of texture of the music. So, you know, if it's I don't know, like lo-fi, for example, and does it have like a piano? Does it have some kind of digital, you know, kinds of things? How much is going on, and how many instruments are playing at the same time? There's so much stuff, right? And we're able to do that because we have some of, you know, really talented musicians that are just, you know, speak that kind of language. And then we're also able to do that because we have really good understanding of your physiological response to stimulus. And when we combine those together, you should get an effect where you're like, this just sounds like music. That's the point, right? We actually don't want, it shouldn't sound like something else, because then it's something else and you're not going to get that effect. We want it to feel that you could listen to this for 4 hours and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I just worked for 4 hours. This is crazy. And you know, that's my experience actually. Like the first time I used Brain FM, I was a user, and I remember using it and I was blown away. And I was like, I have to be part of this thing. Like what's it going to take for me to do this? Because Adderall didn't work for me. Diets and coffee always degrade over time. And this was like the first thing that I was like, this is it. You know, how can we give this same ability for everyone? And all you need is some good headphones and to have some work in front of you focusing, or to just, you know, listen and really giving it a trial, you know, like a thing, because sometimes it works so effective. People are like, oh, this must be something else because I've tried music before, but this is not music anymore. This is this neuro-enhanced music, which is a completely different kind of spectrum and something really, really fun to play with.
That's cool. Yeah, the comparison of Brain FM to like binaural beats, the binaural beats seem too weird to me. You know, like it's like, you know, it's just like this different, there's not anything where I have that sense of, where it feels like something I'm accustomed to in the form of like music. And that's something that I really enjoy with the Brain FM, is it's like actually music that I am enjoying listening to. And you can in real time really feel this effect of, you know, what you suggest, whether it's focus or meditation or calm or whatever it is. And it's actually music.
Yeah. You
know, so I think that that's like, it's a really clever approach for that, to incorporate all like the fancy neuroscience bits into it while also maintaining for a user something that they're accustomed to, which, you know, I think that makes a lot more sense for me at least. Why did you get so excited about all that stuff? Like you just picked it up and you're like, this works. I'm going to devote my whole entire life to this and procure the business. Or like how does a person get like that fired up about acoustics?
Yeah. Great question. Do you want the fast or the long response?
Whatever you're feeling.
Okay. I have a background in martial arts, right? I have a second degree black belt. And before I went into doing this,
and what,
I was picked on What was that?
What kind of martial arts?
Mixed martial arts. I've done a lot of Krav Maga, Muay Thai, and Jiu-Jitsu. That's like the main three that I've know pretty
well. What do you got a black belt in?
Like it's its own thing, but it's like them mixed together. So it's probably like brown belt in Krav, you know, blue belt in Jiu-Jitsu, and like three years of Muay Thai, I guess. I'll say it like that.
Right.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But yeah, anyway, so I did that, and that it changed my life to the point where I became a martial arts instructor. And I remember teaching kids how to, you know, do things right. And then all of a sudden you see their confidence change. And I was like, wow, this is cool. And, I've started making websites for martial arts schools, and then, had some success at that. And then before long, I kind of just went into digital marketing and built out, you know, advertising networks, and kind of got swayed in, hey, I can make money here. And I kind of got away from, you know, helping people.
Yeah.
And, we don't have to go into the story too much, but a turning point in my life was when I had someone point a gun in my face. Hmm. And, it was with a client of mine outside of like a club in another country. And I thought I was going to die. Hmm. I was convinced, and I didn't. And I came out of that and I was like, I want to get back to helping people and using technology to do it. And, 3 months later, I came across.
Were you getting robbed?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Just like somebody randomly approached you on the street and they're like, give me your wallet. What was the deal? Can you share?
I was with clients. I was in advertising. And it basically turned into this thing where I was not in the right place at the right time. And it wasn't something that, like, going back, it was just like one of those experiences where I'm like, I know I shouldn't be here, but I'm going to be here anyway. I'm going to ignore that part of myself. Yeah, and then that thing that happened, I go, I know better than this. And I, to be honest, like, I didn't have my life flash before my eyes or anything like that. I just felt like I wasted it, to be honest. And I just felt remorseful, you know?
Hmm. What were they saying while they had the gun on you?
Honestly, I don't even know. It was kind of a blur. Like it was, I mean, there was definitely threats of, we can go into it, but it was in a country that they regularly abduct people and basically, you know, say, hey, you have to give us all your money. You know, they hold you ransom, you know, it's like cartels and things like that.
What country?
I want to answer you, but it's actually still very traumatic for me. So okay. I'd rather tell you kind of like the end of this rather than go reliving this right now, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. It was an intense moment. Right. And, I ended up, it was fine. Right. But it was something that I walked away with and I was like, hey, I'm lucky. Because it's something really stupid happened. Like, how am I going to make my life matter, basically, you know? And I think that aligning, right, pun not intended, but with the time of discovering this new company that popped up. And I tried Binaural Beats a ton of times. And I had, it worked sometimes, but it was, like you said, it was music that I don't want to listen to for the rest of my life, right? I tried, you know, Adderall. I tried different nootropics. I tried, you know, the whole gamut of different things. The best solution I had at that time to get to my flow state and get focused was actually to work from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. I just found like 2 cups of coffee. I could just work uninterrupted. And it was amazing. And I was just like, okay, that's it. And I designed my life around that. And I remember going, you know, I was like, you know, younger at the time, and I would go out and get a few drinks with friends, and then I'd, you know, do work rather than the other way, you know. And it was this really unique time. And then I came across Brain FM the first time. I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm just gonna like try this out. It was like 12 o'clock in the during the day, like noon. And I worked for like 2 hours, and it was better than when I would work at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this thing? And I tried to break it. I tried to like, I stayed up all night. I changed my diet. I did all of these things to see what could I do. And I was like, this is it. This is the thing that I've been looking for that can really help people. And it can help more people than if I just open up a martial arts school, because every single person in the world can use this. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what nationality, how much money you make. It is like one of the few tools in the world that is almost accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And I got fired up, and I was like, and I called the people like 12 times to get on the phone. And they finally picked up the call, and I said, hey, I'll work for free. And little did I know, it kind of turned into this thing of like, I just want to help more. I want to help more. I want to do more, until I became CEO. And I bought the company, or a portion of it, you know. And this whole mission has always been around like, if I never did martial arts coming all the way from the beginning, right, then I wouldn't be the person I am today, because it was a tool in my life that took me from a shy, chubby kid to becoming a person that was confident, right? And I saw that happen for a lot of people. And it's not just martial arts, it's sports, it's art, it's all these other things. It's a tool, it's a mechanism.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people in the world that are told that they're not good at things. And it's not because they're not good or they're not smart. It's actually because they just don't have the right tool. And if someone has something in their pocket that allows them to be the version of themselves that they want on demand with a button, that's worth me building. So that's frankly like what I'm all about, is like, you know, I want, like, I if anyone tries this and it doesn't work for them, email me, Dan@BrainFM. Tell me what it didn't work and let's talk about it, you know, because I want to build something that does allow people to access the same level that I and a, you know, a couple other 100,000 people that use BrainFM can have and achieve. For, you know, literally like just by using the headphones that you're listening to us talk on right now, which is pretty cool, you know?
Well, I'm a fan. I really appreciate getting to unpack all these bits, like the intrinsic details of it with you. Because I'm very enamored with it. Before this, I did a quick 15-minute meditation with it. And genuinely, I'm just like, I'm very, like almost spellbound with how deep it allowed me to go, just in that short 15-minute period. And it's exciting. And so if folks would like to try it at no cost, which is, you know, seems like a pretty sweet deal. The code, I have it up again. It's brain.fm/align. And how does that work? They'll get 30% off if they do decide to actually end up starting the monthly rate with it. Is that how that goes? They'll get 30%
exactly.
Off.
So you'll sign up for an account. You'll be prompted in case you want to just start and jump in right there. If you don't, you can start a 3-day trial. You get it completely free for three days. Cool. And then use it. And, you know, you'll be able to see pretty quickly what happens. I always recommend people, if they're going to try this, to really try it. You know, if you come in and you say, hey, cool, I'll put it on for focus and just want to hear what it sounds like, that's not the full experience. You actually have to have work in front of you. If you're going to meditate, use it for meditation. It's like a wind on your back, right? And if you're running with the wind, it makes running feel easier. But if you're sitting on the ground and the wind's blowing, it's not going to do anything, right?
Yeah.
And it's not designed to do that. It can't make you do your work, you know, but it can make you work easier or find that meditation faster. That's what I would encourage everyone to do.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you making time. People jump over brain.fm/align if they want to try the free trial and then potentially get 30% off if they want to proceed with it. And thank you, Doc. Is there anything else that you want to share before signing off?
No, I mean, I just really appreciate you being here and asking all these really great questions. I do a few of these, but it's really fun to also learn some things instead of just answering questions all day. So this has been a really great time, and really appreciate you having me.
I appreciate that. All right. Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. That is it. That is all. Thank you all for tuning in. I'll see you next week.
Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. If you did, jump over and check out Brain FM yourself. You try it. I'm a big fan of it. The reason I wanted to have Dan on is because I'm genuinely a fan of this. It's something that I use. It's something that I like. It's something that I want to share, and I want to understand more of what's going on with it. So I would recommend trying the meditation track. Do a 15-minute meditation. It's impressive how impactful it is. Also, the focus tracks, I think, are really fantastic. So you can jump over to brain.fm/align, and then if you use align code, you'll get 30% off if you decide to continue using Brain FM. That is it. That is all. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for reviews. I'll see you next week.